Welcome to the Pure Flix Podcast, a show brought to you by PureFlix.com. PureFlix.com, the faith, family, and fun video streaming service. Get ready for uplifting news, scripture, movie reviews, and interviews with some of your favorite actors, authors, and pastors. Let's get started.
Hey, what's going on? It's Billy Hollowell, and welcome to the Pure Flix Podcast. I'm excited today because we've got a guest on who I think you're going to love. The guest is Jentizen Franklin. He is a well-known evangelical pastor. He's also the author of the new book, Acres of Diamonds, Discovering God's Best Right Where You Are. But before we get into that, you know, we just celebrated President's Day, right, as a country. And it's really fascinating to me the debate that goes on about religion, right, and the separation of church and state. And really, at the core of that, one of the things that people love to debate and discuss is the founding fathers, right? Were they Christians? Were they not? Did they believe in God? Were they agnostic? Were they deists? There's so much that goes on around that conversation that I think is incredibly fascinating. And we have a story over on the PureFlix Insider blog. And if you're not a follower of the PureFlix Insider blog, I'd encourage you to head over to insider.pureflix.com and you can actually subscribe. We'll send you weekly and also monthly newsletters that sort of provide for you some really, I think, great inspiration, but they also offer a recap of what we've been covering on the blog. Now, I write most of these blog stories, so I love getting a chance to kind of dive in on some of these fun topics. And one of the stories that I wrote earlier this month, Five Founding Fathers and Presidents, Powerful Quotes About God in Prayer. And it's really intriguing because as you dive into some of the things that people like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington have said about God, it encourages us because we see that there really was a divine awareness that these men had. Now, I'm going to start with a Thomas Jefferson quote, and you can actually see all five quotes. I'm only going to share a couple of them here before we dive into our interview. But the first quote is from Thomas Jefferson. He said, "I hold the precepts of Jesus as delivered by himself to be the most pure, benevolent, and sublime which have ever been preached to man." That is a pretty incredible quote, right? This notion that what Jesus said, what he delivered, is the most pure, benevolent, and sublime to ever have been delivered and preached to man. Now, for Christians, we believe that, and so it's interesting. Now, Thomas Jefferson, there's a whole debate around his faith, what he believed, what he didn't believe, and you can read about that and dive into that, but that is a fascinating quote. Now, the next person we're going to speak about here, and this is not a founding father, but it's one of our most famous and well-known presidents. It's Abraham Lincoln. He was the nation's 16th president. He issued a call for prayer in 1863, and this call for prayer is convicting. I think it's something we can learn from today. And so it's a little long, but I want you to bear with me on this quote because it's pretty powerful, right? And presidents have called for national days of prayer for eons, right? And this was going on in, again, 1863. This is when Lincoln is calling for this. But there's a line in here that I want you to pay particular attention to, and it's just five words. "But we have forgotten God." So listen for that, because that's something I feel a lot of us are feeling today, that we have forgotten God in this country and that we're so divided. So I'm going to read the quote from Abraham Lincoln, and it goes as follows. "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." That is some powerful, powerful language from Abraham Lincoln. And it's something that I think we can ponder today. Right now, we see culture as a place where people feel they're the ones who have had superior wisdom and virtue, that we decide what is morally right and wrong, that we are the arbiters of truth. And the reality is there's a higher truth, right? And so to see that some of our founding fathers and some of our early presidents saw this, experienced this, knew this, and perpetuated that truth and really reminded people of that, I think is pretty incredible. So check that piece out. Again, it's Five Founding Fathers and Presidents, Powerful Quotes About God and Prayer. You can find that over at insider.pureflix.com. Now, with no further ado, I would like to welcome Jentizen Franklin to the show today. Hey, how's it going today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, thanks for coming on the show. So there's a lot to talk about today. The first thing I want to dive right into is you have a new book, Acres of Diamonds. Why did you write this book?
Well, it's an amazing true story that the book kind of spins off of. I can sum it up pretty quick. But there was a farmer in South Africa back in the 1800s who had a plow and an ox and some acreage and a little meager cabin. And he worked hard every day of his life. And a traveler came through and he said, "It's a shame you have to work so hard. If you would just go to India, they're discovering diamonds there." And that night he went to bed discontent and got up and decided to sell the farm. He hugged his little family goodbye and said, "When I come back, you'll sit on thrones and we'll be fabulously wealthy." And he took all the resources that he got from selling the farm and he went to India and he searched and he didn't find the diamonds. He went to Europe and he never found the wealth that he was searching for. And in a desperate kind of sad ending, he ended up in Spain and jumped into a raging river and took his life and left a suicide note: "There are no diamonds anywhere." The man who bought the farm took the same plow, the same ox, the same acreage, began to plow, and he kept digging up these black rocks, and one of them in particular was beautiful, and he put it on the mantle of his little meager cabin. And the priest in the area came by and noticed that rock and said, "Where did you get it?" He said, "Oh, they're all over the place. They're in every field on this farm." And he said, "You don't understand. That's a diamond in the rough."
Oh, wow.
And sure enough, it was the world's largest diamond mine. To this day, the Queen of England buys her diamonds from the Golconda diamond mine. And the story, you know, the point of the story to me is that the man who had literally acres of diamonds that he was living on never realized what he had when he had it. Mm. And he thought that it was way out there somewhere, and he never appreciated where he was and what potential it had if only he would have worked where he was. And so, you know, we kind of take that and go into so many areas in the book of our own lives. I think so many people, you know, especially in the Instagram society, they look at other people's pictures, other people's perfect family photos on Instagram, and perfect marriage, perfect image, and they think, you know, the grass must be greener on the other side, when they don't really understand that they have the raw material for acres of diamonds in this life if they would just dig, take a shovel and a pick and dig in your own backyard.
Yeah, you know, it's so easy. I feel like it's human nature, and we know we shouldn't do this as Christians, but it's human nature to look at what we don't have. And I see this with kids. You know, kids do this all the time. "Well, I want another treat. Kids are constantly complaining about how they want something else." And, you know, we talk about this a lot with them, and they're little, and I'll say, "Well, you have to focus. You have to have gratitude. What do you already have?" Right. And I know in my own life, I struggle with that too. It's so easy to pinpoint what we don't have. Right. And
yeah. And, you know, it's so biblical too. I mean, you see the stories in the Bible. The prodigal son goes to his father. I mean, he's literally living in acres of diamonds. His father was wealthy. He had servants. We know that from Luke chapter 15. He was so wealthy that the servants, the Bible said, had food enough to spare. They had extra income and resources. But he never noticed what he was living in. It was right under his nose, but he didn't appreciate it. And we see that happen to so many teenagers who were raised in the church and raised in good families and good homes and got good parents. But, you know, I'm sure that prodigal son had friends who were saying, "Man, out there, they're really living out there where the party is, where the girls are, where the, you know, all the drugs are flowing. That's where life really is." And, you know, the story goes and spends everything and loses it all, comes back home just devastated to find and realize that everything he was looking for was right under his nose, right there at his father's house. And what a beautiful picture of what Christ offers us, you know, that so many people, you know, leave faith and leave the church only to come home broken, to find out that the peace they were looking for can only be found in Christ.
Yeah, it's so powerful, and it's such a great illustration of that. And I think a lot of us, you know, we're in the midst of hardship or challenges and we see it as so negative, right? And sometimes, obviously, right. It is. There are negative effects of the things we go through and it's painful. Life can be really painful. But, you know, how can we look at pain a little differently? Because I'm noticing this with, I teach some college classes and I work with young students and I'm talking to them about pain, and we have this aversion to pain in culture, but how do we see pain maybe differently?
Yeah. And I think even in many of the pulpits in America, unfortunately, we almost paint a picture of, if you come to Christ, it's just all wonderful and beautiful. And when the Bible clearly says that it rains on the just and the unjust, that you can be loving God and living the best that you know how to live. And, you know, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have pain and sorrow. But I tell people this, you know, if you're going to have trouble in life, regardless of whether you're a Christian or not, everything's better with Jesus. Everything's better with Jesus, including trouble. And so, but one of the things that I think you're alluding to is what I talk about in the book, how diamonds are born, that they're just carbon vapor that are held under the earth. And it takes intense heat and pressure to call, if the pressure is just right and the heat gets hot enough, it causes that carbon to bond, the atoms to bond, and a diamond is born. And, you know, so many times we want instant success and we want, you know, just to have the wonderful, perfect marriage and the perfect life and all the open doors and green pastures, but we don't understand that we have to go through seasons of intense heat and pressure and fiery trials. But in that, God will make you more. If you won't run from that trial, if you won't run away from it, look for an easier route, you'll become more, you'll do more, you will be used more by God in a purposeful way through the trials that we go through.
Yeah, and that's incredible. And I think that's a message people need to hear. You know, another thing I often hear a lot from people, and I know Christians who believe this, and they believe it really strongly, and I'd love to get your take on it, but it's kind of in line with what we're talking about, but this belief that when you're suffering or something is failing in your life, that it's always because you're not living for God, that an illness, a sickness, a struggle is always sort
true.
Of a pun. Exactly. I mean, how do you respond to those who say that? Because people really believe that.
Well, I think that all they got to do is live a little life, and that theology is going to get blown out of the door. I mean, my brother died of cancer, and he was, you know, if you were going to choose on who was the better brother, this guy, I mean, you know, I went off to school and did some crazy things and, you know, and all of that, and thank God for his grace, but my brother was like an angel. I mean, this kid was, he was an amazing person, and everybody who knew him, so devoted to God. And so when you know, all it takes is living a little life. When you go through some of the things, you know, I've seen good parents who've raised their children right. And, you know, and those kids go off and go crazy and go wild and get into trouble. And we're not promised that won't happen, but we are promised that God is faithful, and that the advantage of a prodigal is they always know the way back home. And if you've raised them right, God's grace, I believe, will reach them if you'll pray and keep. But you will go through the fire. You will go through the intense heat. We will have trials. And I think that's part of God's plan. You know, one of the things that I mentioned in the book is there was an experiment by 8 scientists called Biosphere 2, and it was done in Arizona back in 1991. It's an amazing thing. I couldn't believe it. I had to research it. And it was a $150 million experiment. 8 scientists basically went into a bubble out in the desert in Arizona. They had their own ecosystem, a mini ocean, a mini rainforest. They lived by recycling, and they lived in there for 2 solid years, group, plant life, everything, food. Totally non-connected to any outside life. And the only reason that it failed 2 years into it was because the trees started dying, and they couldn't figure out why until they finally got it right. they discovered that without wind, the constant wind blowing against the trees will not draw in enough nutrients to keep going up and bearing fruit. And so the amazing thing is that the wind and storms were necessary in order for the trees to live. And I think that's a tremendous lesson in that for us, that the storms actually make us stronger. The storms actually are what will produce fruit in our life that will matter and will make us more like Christ.
Yeah, and that's so powerful. And what you said before about living a little life, and you learned that lesson. You know, if none of us ever suffered and it was always related to our faith, the best of us would never die, and that's not the case. We all die. There's an end date for all of us, and a lot of us suffer with all different things. And I think, you know, seeing God's purpose and understanding it and seeking it rather than sort of trying to simplify things down to a theology that doesn't make any sense and that isn't true, you know, saying it's always a punishment. So that's, I really appreciate your words on that, because I think a lot of people struggle with that. And then when you hear that in the middle of a struggle from somebody, it's very unhelpful, you know?
Well, one of the chapters that I really wanted to focus on in the book, you know, deals with this specifically, that we ask God for something, and we, and even beyond that, you know, you can ask, but when God puts something in your heart and he really gives you an impression and a dream or a purpose and a vision that you feel like that is the direction that my life is going to go. Usually when God gives us and we actually end up in that place of destiny, it's not what we thought it was, and it's not about it, it's about him. And I mentioned the story of a Dear Abby column, which she wrote columns back in the days when people read newspapers. But it's a pretty amazing story. The true story of a young kid whose mother died early, and his father raised him, but the father and the son kind of grew apart because the dad became super successful, built a huge multi-million-dollar business. He didn't have a lot of time for his son, didn't go to his ball games and all of that. And so when the boy went off to college, you know, they were really distant. But then toward the senior year, they started getting closer. And the son had never asked for anything. His dad was super wealthy. And he said, you know, I've always wanted this sports car, and it's not super expensive, but it's a classic, and I'd love to get it, Dad, and that's what I want for my graduation. And so, sure enough, the graduation day comes, and the father invites the son into his mansion, and there in his study, he has a present and he in a box, and he gives it to the son, and the boy's expecting, you know, a car in the garage, but instead, when he opens the box, it's a Bible with his name engraved in it. And he became so furious that he shoved it across the desk. He cussed his father, stormed out, and never had anything to do with him until when he had his first son after he got married. And he tried to reach out to his dad, and his dad invited him to come. And on the way there, the dad had a heart attack and died. And I'm sorry I'm going so long, but I think
No, go
somebody.
For it.
So check this. Check this out. This is a true story. When the boy gets there after the funeral, he goes to that mansion, and his dad left him everything. And he went in that study, and he noticed that box up on the shelf that was the last thing that his father offered him. And he took it down off of the shelf and opened it up and picked the Bible up. And when he did, a key fell out, and he didn't know that it was in there. And a note that said, "Your car is out in the garage under a cover." And he walked out, and sure enough, it was out there. And the tremendous lesson in it was the father gave the son everything he asked him for, but he didn't recognize it because it came in a strangely wrapped gift. It was a strangely wrapped gift. And many times, just like Job, just like Joseph, you know, Joseph, you're going to feed the world. You're going to sit and be a powerful person of destiny. But that gift came in a strangely wrapped gift. You know, he's thrown into a pit. He's thrown into prison, falsely accused. He goes through this series of 17 years of hell on earth. And God got him where he said he would get him, but it was a strangely wrapped gift. And many times the things that we think are destroying us and hurting us and devastating our lives are actually molding us and making us into everything God told us that he would do in our life. But he gives his gifts as strangely wrapped gifts.
That's powerful. That's such an important message that we don't always know what's going on. I mean, so many times you look back in life and you say, wow, now I understand what God was doing there. I had no idea while I was in it.
Exactly.
I was dreading it while it was going on.
I mean, you know, the divorce that somebody's going through, Paul put it like this. He said, everything I've gone through has worked for the furtherance of the gospel. I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't be doing what I am doing had I not gone through what I've gone through. So God will use your sorrows, your pain, your trials, your disappointments, your rejections, your failures, your mistakes. You know, you might have made a mistake, but you're not one. You might have failed, but you're not a failure. And God has a unique way of getting you where he said he would get you, but his gifts, they do come in strangely wrapped packages.
That's powerful. So people can dive into this, and I think it's such important subject matter in your book, Acres of Diamonds. We're going to make sure we link out to the book. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Did you know you can access thousands of entertaining and inspiring faith and family-friendly TV shows, movies, and original series? It's simple. Just log on to PureFlix.com right now to start your free one-month trial. From kids' content to some of the most uplifting films, we've got your entire family covered. Sign up today. And we're back with more of the Pure Flix Podcast.
And we're back with more of the Pure Flix Podcast. We are rounding out to the end of our show today, but that was a really fascinating conversation. And I think, you know, there's so much in life that can be so depressing and sad, right? Life is amazing and we're given so many gifts, but it's so easy to find ourselves feeling down and upset. And, you know, and sometimes it's understandable. We face things that are seemingly insurmountable or difficult, and yet we forget to turn to God to journey through those things. And even when we do turn to God, there's a process of mourning and difficulty and getting through the muck of life. And so it was helpful to hear that interview and to also remember that we don't know what's on the other side, right, of whatever we're facing. It's so easy to feel like there's no hope, to feel lost, to feel like we have nothing to look forward to, but yet when you look at history and when you look at other people's lives, it's sometimes hard to see it in our own life, but it's incredible what God throws at us, the things that can happen that we never would have expected. And so if we can live in that hope and that understanding and that asking of God, what do you want from me? Where do you want me to be? What do you have for my life? That's what guides us and sustains us. That's what helps us move forward. And again, having that hope in what we don't know, what we can't understand, what only God knows, is a really powerful way to live. It's the way we should be living. And it's hard to get there, but we can do it through prayer, through reading scripture, and through being open and understanding that we don't have all the answers, but that he does. Now, I want to call your attention to one more thing. You might have seen this because how could you not have? It was out there. It was mega viral. But there was a performance on American Idol, and I don't watch American Idol, but I do catch the clips sometimes. And there was a guy named Douglas Kiker. He's 27 years old. He's from Mobile, Alabama. He showed up to audition, and what's really incredible is that this guy did not have any clue what he was able to do, right? He had no idea. He knew he could sing, and he knew he had a good voice, I assume, because he showed up to audition. But when he got there, he told Lionel Richie, Katy Perry, and Luke Bryan, who are the judges on the show, he said that he was there to teach his daughter, he has a two-year-old daughter, that, quote, if you put your mind to it, there's nothing you can't do. So that was why he was auditioning. So this guy opens his mouth to sing. And by the way, he's a garbage man, and that's what he does for a profession, so he's not a professional singer. He just sings in the back of his truck. He said that's when he practices his singing, but he opens his mouth and what comes out of his mouth is absolutely incredible. He sang the song Bless the Broken Road, and I don't want to ruin it for you. I want you to watch it. If you head over to insider.pureflix.com, you can watch this guy, Douglas, bring Katy Perry to tears because his voice is so phenomenal. And I think, you know, it's just amazing. I don't think I know that when we watch people who go out there, they put themselves out there to teach their kid an amazing lesson, right? That you can put your mind to anything. And you can see what happened with his performance, and it's just incredible. So check that out over at insider.pureflix.com. And I want you guys to also be sure to check out the Encounter series. That's an original PureFlix series streaming right now on pureflix.com. You can get thousands of TV shows, movies, and original series over on PureFlix with your free trial. So check that out. And also be sure to head over to insider.pureflix.com for daily inspiring blog content. We've got Bible verse lists. We cover lifestyle, prayer and faith, movies, news, education, so much more. Check that out. Thanks so much for tuning in. Tune in next time for another episode of the PureFlix, episode of the Pure.
That's all for today's podcast. You can follow PureFlix on Facebook at facebook.com/PureFlix and on Twitter at PureFlix. And be sure to log on today to PureFlix.com for your free month of access to thousands of faith and family-friendly movies and TV shows. Thanks for listening to the PureFlix Podcast.